So with those words, I'd like to turn to the scripture, and I'd like to turn to John chapter 4 and verse 22, or as we say very often, Yohanan chapter 4 and verse 22. There's a question that's been raised many times in a kind of catchy way. Why are there no Jews in the pews? And we are in a building, actually, where there are still pews. Nowadays, of course, as you know, most congregations have chairs. But here we are. And why are there so few Jews in the pews? Now, here we have quite a number of Jews among us today. We are a Messianic Jewish congregation, and we are appealing particularly not just to the church world, but we are appealing specifically to our Jewish people to come and worship with us. But still, the question is, why has this good news of Messiah, this good news that we hold so dear, this good news that has made the difference for us, that has brought us out of our homes and out of our religious settings? And for some of us, we come out of a Jewish religious world. For others of us, we come out of other religious worlds. And sometimes, even out of the evangelical world, sometimes we have faced a little bit of opposition to being part of the Messianic world. What is it that has made the difference? And really, what it is not an it, but it is Yeshua the Nazarene. Many of us have come to faith in him because we have seen who he is, because we have realized that in him is life. Last Shabbat in Golders Green, I worshiped in the local Orthodox synagogue. It's close, within walking distance. We had no cars at that point, and so I went to the local synagogue. And it was a blessing to sit there and to pray the traditional prayers, a blessing to be with other Jewish men. The women are upstairs, somewhere else. It's got its own kind of nice feeling in a sense. And to worship the Lord and to talk freely with other people. But there is something missing, and it is that something, and it is that someone that has called us out of that world, out of the empty worlds that we might have come from, to a world where we can worship Yeshua, Jesus, as the way to God the Father, without any encumbrances. Because in the Orthodox synagogue, people are worshiping God. People are actually praying for the soon coming of Messiah. But they do not know the one who makes the way for us to have that transforming relationship with God. And here is Yeshua in Yohanan chapter 4. And Yohanan has been focusing very much on the nature of Yeshua as he writes this book. And Yohanan is one of those books which scholars have debated about for a long time. They said it was one of the very latest books in the Brit Chadashah, in the New Testament. Written for Greeks, they said. Nowadays, they say, well, maybe it's much, much earlier. And maybe it was actually written specifically for Jews, Greek-speaking Jews. Most Jews speak Greek or spoke Greek in that day. But the message is clear. Yohanan wants us to understand who Yeshua is. And here is Yeshua. He is coming to someone who is outside the pale. Someone whom Jews would not normally deal with. Maybe do a business deal with. Maybe talk with in a very light social manner. But someone you wouldn't really get involved with. Someone you wouldn't really talk deeply with because they were outside. And today, within the very religious Jewish community, it is still the same way. Jewish people do not really know many of those who are outside. And this is my experience in Golders Green, which is a very traditional Jewish community, and there are even more traditional communities in London. All the close relationships are within the community. Jewish people will go to work be they lawyers or teachers or whatever. They will have cordial relationships with their co-workers, but the relationships will never go deep. And their co-workers might wonder why these people don't quite mix with them in the same way. But it's because they are part of the Jewish community. That is their world. And the rest of the world doesn't really matter. And here is Yeshua, 2,000 years ago. Things weren't that much different in that day. Jewish people, faithful to God, the more faithful to God they were, the more faithful to their community they were, and the less time they had for others. And here were these Samaritans. They were essentially heretics. They were off base. They were usurping Jews in that they were claiming to be Jews while they were not. And Yeshua is speaking to a Samaritan woman. And as he speaks to her, you might think he might do what we would do with someone that we want to reach. Because when we want to reach someone, so often we, and this is my personal tendency, we'll want to build a verbal bridge. We don't want to build barriers between ourselves and the other people. We want to be friendly. We want to be approachable. We want to make an easy way to share the good news. But Yeshua is not minded exactly the same way as we might be, because as he speaks to this woman, he speaks to her and says in verse 22, "You worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews." And that's a statement that could have distanced her from Yeshua. Oh, here is Yeshua, here is this man, this prophet. But he says, salvation is of the Jews. That's obviously not for me. Therefore, maybe this isn't the person I should be talking to either. Maybe what he says is not relevant to me. But Yeshua gives her a challenge. He says to her, the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. And he opens the door to her. Are you going to, he basically says to her, accept this, that the good news, salvation, is from the Jews. Are you willing to accept this and worship in spirit and in truth? Because while salvation is coming from the Jews, the time is coming when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. That is, for us today, a very profound statement of Yeshua. And it very much puts the messianic world in its place within the world today, within the Christian world even today. Because we as a movement are saying salvation is of the Jews. We are acknowledging that God has given the Jewish people a specific role and a specific place within his plan to bring the good news of salvation to all the world. But we also acknowledge that the hour has come when God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. In other words, salvation is not limited to the Jewish people. It has come through the Jewish people, but it is not limited to us. We may have, as Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul said, the law and the prophets, the covenants, and so many other things. But that is so that the nations could come to Messiah. It is God's great plan of salvation, which from the very beginning was a plan that was not just for Israel, but was a plan to defeat evil in the entire world, for all people, and for the entire universe. This is what God said in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 as he spoke to Chava, to Eve. I will put enmity between you and the woman, as he spoke to the serpent. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." God had a plan to defeat the serpent, because God cared for a humanity that he knew was now lost and now condemned to a lost and damaged state. And all of us can attest to that damage in our own lives, the damage that has come to us through sin in the world today. None of us are whole and perfect, like I think within our spirits we know we were made to be. And so God blessed Abraham. He blessed Isaac. He blessed Yaakov with the same blessing, time and time again, repeated throughout the book of Genesis. "In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." God has a plan for the entire world, and he has a plan for the Jewish people within it. God will bless the world through Israel, and those who bless Israel, the Jewish people today, will be blessed. And so it is that we come to Matthew chapter 21. And if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 21, we see the acknowledgement of the king. God's plan comes together. Let's start at verse 6. "The disciples went and did as Yeshua had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, 'Who is this?' And the crowd said, 'This is the prophet Yeshua from Nazareth in Galilee.'" Yeshua had established who he was. The crowds, the people were accepting him. They were rejoicing that here he was. Here was the one of whom the prophets had spoken. And God's plan was coming together. God's plan was advancing. Salvation was being presented not only to Israel, but to the entire world. And the Jewish people of that day knew what salvation would be. They knew what salvation was all about. For them, it was not simply that a person could be saved, as we so often think, from the consequences of our sin and from our yetzer hara, or our evil tendency, or you could put it in Calvinistic terms, from our corrupted nature. However you want to put it, we have this thing within us that is often, if not always, against God. And here, the people were crying for salvation. They were thinking not only of that, but they were thinking of salvation for Israel. Salvation from her enemies. Remember the Magnificat, as it is called in Luke, as Elizabeth prays to the Lord. Salvation from her enemies and those that surround her. Israel receiving her righteous due within the world, because Israel has always been a blessing in the world, but has almost always been persecuted in the world today. In fact, today is absolutely no exception for the Jewish people, as we face persecution in many countries around the world today. Salvation was being expected, and the people of Israel were expecting a kingdom of righteousness. They were expecting one who would lead them to God. But they were expecting so much more as well. They were expecting the whole package. Here is Yeshua of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This is the one that they expected, the one who would take his throne in the city of Jerusalem. But there's no greater tragedy than salvation lost, because Israel also in that day lost her salvation. Israel lost her possibility of achieving and accepting what God had given and what God was offering. As a whole, the people of Israel did not accept Yeshua as the Messiah. There were many Rav Shauls, the Apostle Pauls, among the Jewish people in that day. People who passionately believed that in order to follow God, in order to really honor Him, you had to oppose those who were followers of Yeshua the Messiah, because they were preaching something blasphemous, something that spoke against the good news as they understood it, according to the Hebrew Bible. The Jewish people, in turn, were rejected by the church, rejected by the world, and for 2,000 years suffered throughout the Middle Ages, in the Roman Empire before that, and even today, as we just said. And among our people, probably the greatest suffering and the greatest Holocaust from our perspective is that of Jewish people who have lived their lives without knowing Yeshua the Messiah. And we long for our people to know the one who makes the difference, because we know the difference that Yeshua has made in our lives, because we know the wonder of His love. We have experienced God's working in us, through us, and in our congregations, in our communities. We've seen Him alive. One of the things that amazes me the most is still to see what happens in a person's heart when they come to the Lord, and just see that in their eyes. And you can see God at work. And our people as a whole, still today, have lost that salvation. But salvation has come to the world. And this is not news to us. We have seen that news. We've seen it on the front of our prayer book, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This good news has come to us. This good news is transforming our world today. As Rav Shaul said in full, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Messiah, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." And Rav Shaul went from there to explain the plan of salvation throughout the book of Romans, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. This was his plan in that book. We as a congregation have a great opportunity to witness Messiah's love in the world that we are in. I don't want to embarrass my father, but we grew up, myself, my brother, and my sister, in our home in Hammersmith in England, and then on Osler Street, 4249 Osler Street, right near 25th and Oak. And as we grew up there in the Jewish community, one of the things that was something that was not particularly desirable was that some people, including those within the agency that my father worked for, would call my father a missionary. And that wasn't a particularly nice term, because for a Jewish person, a missionary is someone who is coming to destroy the people of Israel, someone who is coming to take Jewish people away from the community and away from their commitment to God to, as Rav Shaul might put it, another gospel. And so to be a missionary is not a good thing. And also to be a missionary implies that you are other, that you are other than Jewish, that you are from a different people group reaching in towards the Jewish community. And of course, we always had within our homes a very strong awareness of our Jewishness and our membership within the Jewish community. And so today I actually deal with the same issue within the agency I work for, because they like to call me on all of their forms a missionary. But I don't consider myself to be a missionary, because I'm not reaching a different people group. I'm not the other. I am a Jewish person who is accepting Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, and seeking to live for him as a light within our own Jewish community. In fact, this was the vision of Rabbi Leopold Cohn, who established Chosen People Ministries, my agency, years ago in 1894. His vision that Jewish people could become believers in Yeshua and still remain Jewish. And that's one of the things that is so special about Keilatzion, is that we are a congregation where a Jewish person can come and be affirmed in their Jewish identity. And one of the things that is so good about Keilatzion is that I haven't seen a lot of people in our congregation who are wanting to be Jewish themselves, who know that God has all created us for who we are, but who respect our differences and thus allow Jewish people to be themselves as well within our mix of both Jewish and Gentile, as God has called this congregation into being. We have this tremendous blessing, this tremendous opportunity to reach our Jewish community for Messiah, to be a witness for him, so that more Jewish people might come face to face with the Yeshua that we know, that we love, because we should not underestimate what our testimony means to our Jewish people. It means an awful lot. The Jewish people are aware of Keilatzion. They cannot be unaware. They are aware that there are Jewish people who believe in Yeshua. In fact, if the normal holds true, they're probably under the assumption that almost everyone in this congregation is a Jewish person, which in a sense it's a little humorous, because we're not all Jewish. We are a congregation of Jews and Gentiles who love Yeshua, our Messiah. But we have a voice. We have a profile within the community. We don't need to hide our voice. We don't need to hide our witness. We can give clear voice to what we believe. Yeshua is the one who makes the difference. God is not done with Israel yet. There are many people who believe that God is done with the Jewish people. And we stand as a witness that God is not finished with Israel yet. And the fact that he is not finished with Israel yet is also a sign that he is not finished with his plan for the nations yet either. Because it will be when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, as Rav Shaul says, that then all Israel will be saved. And so we have tremendous blessing, tremendous things to look forward to as we witness for our Messiah, as we grow in him, and through our love for him and our witness for him, through our changed lives, as we work for him, we transform not only ourselves as the Spirit transforms us, but we become the agent by which God transforms other people who come to know us in our families, in our network of friends, and among the Jewish people that we know. So may the Lord bless us as we seek to be a witness to him in the months and years to come, as we seek to bring glory to him within the Jewish people community here in Vancouver. Amen. Father in heaven, Avinu Sheva Shamayim, we thank you for sending us Yeshua, your Son, the one who has come and dwelt among us, who has given his life for us, so that we might experience your life, life everlasting, life that springs from within through your Spirit. Father, we pray that you might draw Jewish people to our midst. We pray that you might draw people, Jewish people, and all people of all nations into our orbit of friends, that we might be able to be to them a witness for what Yeshua can do, making a way to you, our Almighty Father and God. We thank you for him, our Savior, in Yeshua's own name. Amen.